Hello, it's Scott Manley here. This had been looking like a great week for Blue Origin, right up until 9 p.m. East Coast time, when their latest New Glenn booster exploded during a test firing. So this footage is from NASA Space Flight, their Space Coast live stream. They had cameras at the site and they caught it. They caught it from a bunch of different angles. And if you want to watch all their angles, you can go and watch their stream. I just want to talk about what I see here and what are the implications, because while this looks like a fairly big explosion, its effects are far beyond the fireball that we are witnessing. So let's put the situation in perspective. Back in April, we had the launch of New Glenn Flight Number 3. This was with the booster Never Tell Me the Odds. And while the booster operated flawlessly, there was a problem with the upper stage. That problem resulted in the payload from AST Space Mobile being deployed into a useless orbit and deorbiting soon afterwards. The FAA asked for an investigation because if the upper stage didn't relight its engines correctly, it could result in it being deorbited in the wrong location. That investigation closed just last week. The conclusion was that it was a propellant leak, which resulted in a hydraulic valve not operating correctly and resulted in lower thrust from one of the engines. In the meantime, Blue Origin's Rocket Factory had delivered its next booster, No It's Necessary, a reference, of course, to Interstellar. And so Blue Origin had been expecting the investigation to be closed, and they were prepared for a rapid return to flight. The goal, I think, was maybe a first few days of June. The payload for this flight was going to be a batch of satellites for Amazon's LEO constellation, and this was going to be the first really heavy payload that New Glenn was going to launch. The 48 satellites are expected to weigh just under 30 tons, which is still a long way short of the 45-ton payload that was promised by New Glenn, but it's a bit more than what Falcon 9 does with Starlink. So this new booster was mated with an upper stage and was loaded onto the transporter erector and rolled out to the pad in preparation with a test fire. Now, Blue Origin didn't tell anyone exactly when to expect it, but just before 9 p.m. it was fully fueled. We saw the deluge system start and then ignition. In previous static fires, we didn't see any fire like that, never mind a giant fireball and an even bigger fireball which overloaded the sensor, which faded to reveal a giant fireball. Whatever happened, it appears the tanks ruptured very quickly, the propellant was dispersed, and, you know, we essentially have over 1,000 tons of liquid oxygen and methane burning together, producing a mushroom cloud. And this is like at least 1 kiloton yield. It's big enough to produce a classic mushroom cloud, which disappeared up into the clouds and even showed up on a weather radar. Now, the good news is that soon after we found out that everyone was accounted for, nobody was injured, everyone was at a safe distance because this was an incredibly violent event. The bad news is this is going to have effects far beyond Blue Origin. So yeah, Blue Origin were anxious to return to flight, get their rocket going, because they have a whole bunch of things they need to fly. And their customer, Amazon in this case, they are working against a deadline to fill out their constellation so that they can actually start operating it, start having customers, and not have to negotiate again to retain the frequencies that they have acquired. Amazon have also been using Falcon 9, Vulcan, and Ariane 6, but we all know Vulcan is sort of down for the count right now. Falcon 9 is limited because they really only have one East Coast launch site now, and they have only one barge. Ariane 6, it's never been the swiftest piece of hardware. AST Space Mobile is also in a similar situation. They were going to be relying on New Glenn to launch a bunch of their satellites, and now they are going to have to find somewhere else to do that, and the capacity isn't really there. And let's not forget that ULA's Vulcan is using the BE-4 engines, which were certainly proximate to this particular failure. They may not be responsible, but it's not entirely unreasonable to expect that Vulcan might have some extra downtime due to this event. Blue Origin's launch site, Slick 36, is going to have to be rebuilt. We've seen one of the lightning towers has already been knocked down. I'm pretty sure the transporter erector is destroyed. They will need another one of those. They'll probably need to rebuild a lot of their ground equipment. And the only other booster they have is sitting in that building at the bottom left. It is entirely possible that while Never Tell Me the Odds wasn't being tested, that it could still have been damaged by this event. Now, many of you will remember that SpaceX, when they had a booster explode on the pad, they were able to investigate the problem and get flying again within like 4 months or so. However, that hides the fact that explosion happened on Pad Slick 40, and when they returned to flight, they were able to do that on Pad 39. It took them well over a year to get launches going back from Slick 40 again. Now, earlier in the week, Blue Origin were celebrating the fact that they had got two new lunar landing missions for their Blue Moon Mark 1 lander. These were both missions to deliver rovers to the moon in advance of Artemis 4. Prior to this, there's supposed to be two launches of Blue Moon Mark 1 to demonstrate its capabilities and then take the Viper rover to the moon. Blue Moon can't launch on anything else, it's too big for anyone else's fairings and it's too heavy. And of course, they were really hoping to have their HLS demonstrator in orbit next year in time for Artemis 3. What this is saying, basically, with a potential 1 year stand down on New Glenn, that knocks a big hole in possible Artemis plans. There will still be CLPS missions flying, and the Moonfall drones, those will fly on a Falcon 9 with a Firefly's Elytra stage. But with many months of a stand down, a return to flight for New Glenn, and of course multiple test flights off the Mark 1, it's not clear that they will necessarily have all the assets in place that they want for a planned lunar landing in 2028. So anyway, let's go back and actually take a look at the footage to see if there's anything that we notice, anything that's worth talking about. So I actually rewound the camera to just beforehand. This is like, running at 4x speed, just so you can see there is a lot of condensation coming off that rocket. They have loaded a bunch of propellant onto this. Some people said that this was a combination test and a wet dress rehearsal. We don't know exactly how much propellant was loaded onto the rocket, but we do know that a fully fueled New Glenn is over like 1,300 tons. Now, from this side, we can't actually see most of the rocket because we have the transporter erector in its way. This is another angle from earlier in the day. So going from the left, you can see the white building, which has the boosters where they're integrated with the upper stages. To the right of that is the reinforced lightning tower. To the right of that, we have the booster on its transporter erector. Again, we can't see it because it's on the far side of that. To the right of that, we have the other lightning tower, which isn't quite as strong. You can see a flare stack. And then there's a water tower, which is used to drive the deluge system. And right on the very right there, you can see the lighthouse. So now going back to just before the event, the camera zoomed in a bit so you can't see the lighthouse, but you can see those towers on either side with the red lights that are used to show aircraft where they are. Now just before the engines fire, they're going to activate the water deluge system. So if you look down the base, you will see a large amount of water mist come in as we reach like T0. By the way, I'm running this at 1/4 speed. There we go. You see all that water coming up? And then we get this very, very bright flash. Now, freeze framed at exactly that moment. Now, on a previous test fire, which NASA Spaceflight also shot, we did not see anything bright like that. So the moment that we saw any light coming out of those engines was the moment that something was definitely going wrong. Now, to be clear, that light might just actually be getting scattered by the deluge system, but at a certain point, this is clearly getting out of control and propagating up the rocket. It is something that's happening very quickly. And now I want to freeze frame this moment because you can see there is a bright spot that has appeared near the top of the rocket. Now, some people said that they think this is the second stage starting to explode. I'm not convinced because I think what's really happening is that there is just essentially a wall of fire, whatever, between the booster and the transporter erector, and we simply can't see it until it reaches that high. Now, I even wondered whether there would be propellant in the second stage. You know, why would you fuel a second stage for a first stage test? Well, if this is a wet dress rehearsal, it might make sense to actually load that up. And certainly having the second stage fuel of a liquid hydrogen would definitely make this event a little more ferociter, as Blue Origin would like to say. So now running again, 4 seconds after the engine ignition, there is this massive flash. And it's just a couple of frames that absolutely overwhelms the camera. And I'm pretty sure at that point, the entire booster has just disintegrated. This doesn't look like the SpaceX Amos 6 failure, where the booster on the pad, you could actually see the liquid oxygen spilling down and turbulently mixing and burning. This case, it feels more like a detonation, almost. In fact, if we rewind and run this section again, you can absolutely see a very well-defined pressure wave coming off of this. I tried to estimate the speed off it, but I really didn't come up with good answers. Those towers are about 150 meters tall if you actually want to try and figure it out yourself. Speaking of the towers, pay attention to the left one, very visibly moving in reaction to the forces. That's the one that would actually remain standing. The one on the right is the one that falls down, but I can't actually see it falling down. It just sort of gets consumed by the fireball, and then the next time we see any evidence for it, it's no longer there. Anyway, later in the timeline, the camera person has pulled back. We can see these trails of what I presume are COPVs that have been unleashed. They've escaped. And they're going a long way out. They're going far enough out that they could have hit that the assembly building. So this is why we're all concerned about damage happening to the other booster. Although, at this point, I think they could very easily build another booster. It's the launch site which is going to consume most of their time and resources. See, I'm told this fireball was visible for a long way around, and there are people apparently who saw it or recognized it as far away as Orlando, which is like 50 miles away. Now, this is almost certainly the biggest blast that has ever been seen at the Cape. It's possible this is at least as big as some of the Starship blasts that have happened in Boca Chica. However, the Soviet Union's N1 rocket was definitely bigger and blastier as these things go. However, I once again want to remind you that it is not a game. This is not a sport. This is, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to have to start dealing with the fallout from this. So there is another thing that I want to point out, and that is the sound. Now, the sound was picked up, you know, several miles away, obviously. There was a bit of a lag, but normally when something this size explodes, it tends to sound more rumbly. This sounded a lot more like a pop. The audio recorded immediately beforehand doesn't show any evidence of the engine starting to spool up or fire or anything like that. It's literally like just like background noise and then pop as that tank goes. So what I'm saying is that this event isn't simply something burned and then the fire got worse. This went from zero to destruction in a very, very small amount of time. As we speak, there are still fires burning around the site. Some of the structures are burning. There are emergency services there trying to get things under control. But we will find out a lot more in the morning as to what is still standing, what's going to need to be replaced. But this is not going to be a quick fix. And then Blue Origin are going to have to decide how they're going to get back to flight status, how long that's going to be, because turns out that NASA apparently is really depending upon them to be a big part of the Artemis program, a big part of lunar landing in the next few years. The factory had been churning out second stages in anticipation of lots of new Glenn flights. That's going to be stopped. Maybe they'll start working on that 9x4 booster instead. Once again, I'm glad nobody was hurt. I can't wait to see Blue Origin fly again. I'm Scott Manley. Fly safe.